Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Next week, we will be back live in church. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, we will not have Sunday school. We will not have children's church and nursery for the first couple weeks. We'll see how it goes. With children's church and nursery, it's harder to keep the kids at a safe distance. We will be sectioning off different pews to help spread everybody out. And so, and that'll mean for anybody that's watching at home that's not going to be able to come to service, our time frame will be different for posting the videos. We're still trying to get all that figured out, but it might be Monday before it's up on YouTube. We will work on it this week and see if we can get it posted on Sunday, but it might be Monday. I do appreciate everybody that's been watching from Michigan and even here around Mansfield and stuff that normally don't come to our church. It's great that I've even heard from some of y'all, and so it's great that others are getting to watch. We will continue to record and post it as long as people are continuing to watch. If we see that nobody's watching, then we'll probably stop recording and stop posting. But if even one's watching, we will continue to do it. And so I appreciate all the feedback that I've got from everybody. And like I said, next week we will be changing. And so we'll just see how that goes. I'm going to try and have my personal email posted at the bottom of the video. And so if you are having any trouble, you can email me directly, and hopefully I can help you out. And so we'll get that posted on there also. And so hopefully healing will keep coming, and we'll be back to normal before long. So let's pray and begin our time of worship. Father, we welcome you here today. Lord, we're thankful for all your blessings, for what we're seeing going on, many recovering. Lord, we pray that they would continue to recover. We pray that this virus would stop. Lord, I pray that this nation would recognize their need for you, their need for their Savior. Lord, our need for you each and every day in our lives for guidance, for direction. Father, I pray that you would use this video, that you would use this time, and however you would see fit, that it might change lives, that it might reach people, Lord, that need to hear the gospel, that need to hear from you. I pray for a special anointing upon this time of worship, upon this time of learning. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
He is Jehovah, God of creation. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, the Balm of Gilead, the Rock of Ages. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is the great I am, the God of Abraham, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace I am, the God of Israel, the everlasting one. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He's your provider, Jehovah Jireh, God of salvation, God of Messiah, the Son he sent to you, he testified of him. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. He is Jehovah, Lord God Almighty. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee. He is Jehovah, the God that healeth thee.
How many of y'all have ever watched Andy and Mayberry? I figure most of you have. And this morning, as I was praying and getting ready and everything, I thought of an episode with Aunt B where she was going to do a commercial for, I think it was furniture polish. And it's been years since I've seen that particular episode, but it seems like in that episode she's talking directly to the camera and says hi to everybody in TV land, and that's kind of, I feel a little uncomfortable, just like Aunt B did, still talking to a camera and saying hi out there in TV land, but I hope like I said, I hope you will continue to watch. And I also want to encourage everybody, if you don't feel comfortable in coming, don't come. We're going to post the videos. And I know I've talked to some people this week, and they have health issues. They have problems. And please, if the Holy Spirit puts a check in your spirit at all about coming, stay home. Call us, text us. We're in a group text. Stay connected. But if you don't feel comfortable with coming just yet, we will continue to post the videos. But if you are here, I would ask that you please be respectful of others. You may feel comfortable with going up and hugging or shaking hands. Others may not. So we're going to still practice social distancing for a few more weeks. And it's hard to do. I saw somebody yesterday I hadn't seen in years. I didn't even recognize them. They recognized me. And first thing I wanted to do was go up and give them a big hug. And I went towards them and I stopped myself because I could tell they were like, wait a minute, what are you, don't be getting too close to me. And I stopped myself because that's just my personality and the way that I am. And so enough of that. We'll get on to the message today. And where I want to begin is Romans chapter 13. I've tried Wednesday I was off work. Crystal had to go into work and my kids were still asleep. I got up early and was by myself praying, reading. I had some decisions to make. I was really seeking the Lord, and I was listening to this pastor out of Texas who had preached a really good sermon, and he was talking about the first part of chapter 13 in Romans about submitting to the authority. So I just opened up my Bible and then I read on, and something really stood out to me later on in the chapter, and so I just had texted two verses to our church group text. I know not everybody is in that, but I try to get as many people as I can with our group text and keep them up to date. But where I want to begin is Romans 13 verse 8. And it says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandments there may be are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." Hopefully we all know that. The Ten Commandments and loving your neighbor as yourself. That we understand that if you love someone, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to murder. You're not going to commit adultery. When you love someone, you don't do those things. And so let's go on then in verse 11. And it says, "And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is near now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desire of the sinful nature." And what I really want to talk about is the verse 11. "And do this, understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed." I want to ask you, has all this that's going on in our world, in our society, woke you up? Maybe it's brought a stir in your spirit of how precious life is. Maybe you've known someone that's sick or has died. Maybe you've known someone that has lost financial means through a job or the stock market. They've lost their retirement or something. And maybe this time you have woken up to know that really we depend upon the Lord for everything. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about different ways that I've been woken up. And I, I remember as a kid that my uncle and aunt would come down from Michigan, and I don't even know if I was a teenager yet, but I've never been a morning person. I don't like to wake up, and I had this uncle that would come in and squirt me with a squirt gun to get me up out of bed. And, oh, I hated that. You know, someone hitting you with that water first thing. And then my grandpa Rose, he always wanted us to get up and go fishing and get up early, because he woke up at like 5:30, 6 o'clock every morning and would just sit at the kitchen table drinking coffee until finally he couldn't stand it no more. And he'd come in and he'd play the taps and like, to try and wake us up. And I was just thinking about all the different ways that I've been woke up. And I remember one year at church camp, there was this group that came up from Louisiana and was at church camp with us, and their leader was studying for something to do with seminary. So most of the church camp, he kept disappearing, and he was off studying his Bible. He was preparing for something. I don't remember what it was, but so some of his kids, I ended up having to kind of be the counselor and taking care of. And this one kid in particular, and I don't remember his name, he was a big old strong kid. And he told me, "Don't wake me up." And I'm like, "Huh?" He's like, "I'm serious. Don't touch me when you wake me up." He said, "I can't help it. It's just a reaction." And he said, "Don't wake me up." So there was one morning, everybody's left the dorm, everybody's gone to breakfast but this one kid, and I'm hollering at him, and he will not wake up. So finally I'm like, "This is ridiculous," and I went over and I just barely touched him to wake him up, and he come up swinging with both fists and like yelling, and I don't know if it was just it would scare him or what, but he was a big old strong kid. Man, I jumped back. I was like, "I don't want to take one of those fists, you know." But he was so frightened when he woke up, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, like, how many times have you ever woke up in like a strange place, on vacation in a motel room or something like that, and for a minute you don't know where you are. And fear takes over you. Or I've done this more often than even that, is I've woke up and I've thought I've overslept for work, and oh no, I'm late, and fear just grips you, and you take off scurrying through the house or whatever. And finally, when you turn on the light and you see the clock and you realize, oh, I might have 2 hours. I've even been taking a nap and woke up in the afternoon and thought I was late for work. And fear just grips you. But then all at once, when you finally get your bearings and you realize where you are, then that fear subsides. Y'all, this is a time for us, I really believe, that we need to turn on the lights to our soul. We need to wake up to what's going on around us. In Ephesians 5, verse 8, it says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are in the light, in the Lord." You are in the light, in the Lord. That's wake up. Now, we once were in darkness, but now we're awake. You're in the light, in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Have you woke up to that? Is that how you're living? Verse 10 says, "And find out what pleases the Lord." And as I was reading and studying this, and I thought about how many of us are we truly trying to seek the Scripture and find out what truly pleases the Lord? You know, when you're dating someone, what do? You try and find out what they like. If you know that girl that you think you're in love with, or that you may be in love with, well, what do? You want to buy chocolates if that's her favorite, or you want to buy roses for her. You want to do something to impress her. And because you want to find out what they like. And you know what? Even if you've been married for 20-something years like me, I still want to do things that I know my wife likes. Yesterday, I called her and I went to a bakery and got something specifically for her. Why? Because I love her so much and I still want to do things that please her and that she likes. And so I went to this bakery and bought these cheese danishes just for her. How many of us are that way with our Heavenly Father? God, what pleases you? What can I do to please you? Verse 11 says, "Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them." You know, how would it be if I'm in love with my wife, but I'm still out there looking for the fruitless deeds of the darkness, looking at other women or chasing other women, I wouldn't have a very successful marriage. As a matter of fact, I'd probably be divorced, right? But how many of us are that way with the Lord? We say, oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. But then we're chasing darkness. And that's not consistent with being a child of God. We need to wake up. Verse 12 says, for it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it says, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. There it is. Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead. The deeds of the darkness are death. Verse 15, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Have we woken up? Are we being very careful with how we live? Are we understanding how precious life is and how the days are truly evil? Or have we woke up to the fact of how quickly life can change from one moment to the next? Our economy can change. Our jobs can change. Have we woken up and are we being careful to the world and what's going on around us? 1 Corinthians 15:33 and 34 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And when I thought of this and I thought of we need to wake up at the influences that we're allowing in our life, from the friends that we hang out with to the TV programs that we watch to what we're looking at on the internet. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. It says, come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. And that's in the NIV that I read that. But in the King James, verse 34 says, awake to righteousness and sin not. And I love the way that it says that. Awake to righteousness and sin not. And as we wake up, are we awaking to righteousness and putting away sin in our life? As I was praying Easter morning, we opened up the church here for prayer, and as I was praying, this phrase came to my mind, and it's, I fear all we have done is awaken a sleeping giant and filled him with a terrible resolve. And a Japanese admiral who had planned the attack on Pearl Harbor supposedly has wrote that in his diary. I don't know. You look on the internet. I've heard that phrase in the movie Pearl Harbor and everything, and that's why I knew it. There's debate whether this Japanese admiral truly said that or not. But when I think about that, I fear all we have done is awaken a sleeping giant. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, maybe this virus has awakened the sleeping giant of God's people. Maybe it has awakened us to realize that we need to repent, that we need to begin to live for Jesus Christ, that we need to get our lives right, that how quickly life can be taken from us, how quickly life can change, that maybe this virus has awakened the people of God to change and become the children of light as He calls us to be, to put away the deeds of darkness, to be very careful with how we live and how we're living. And I was thinking about Joseph, and I was thinking about he's sold into slavery, and he's going through all these problems, all these crises in his life. And I was thinking about Joseph, and he ends up in jail for resisting Potiphar's wife. And he's doing everything right, but it seems that evil and bad continue to happen to him. But I thought about after Joseph's father has died, and his brothers begin to get fearful of what Joseph might do to him. And in Genesis 50, verse 19, it's 19 through 21, but Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Can I tell you something? That this virus and what all it's caused in the evil and the bad that it seems to be wreaking on people's lives and taking lives. But what the enemy intends for evil, God can turn it into something good. And so that's where my heart's at this week. Is that all the evil, all the bad, all the death, all the destruction, all the things going on, the people in the streets protesting, what's going on, everything going on around us, has it made us realize our need for our Savior, our need for God in our lives? Has it woken us up? Has what the enemy intended for evil, God can turn it into something good, so much more? And maybe this is the time. Esther says, "For such a time as this," and you were placed on this earth for such a time as this, and God's people are living in this day for such a time as this. Are we going to wake up and see the world around us and understand? I saw a video this week, and it was Wednesday when I was watching that service in Dallas, and they were showing a video of there's a prayer chain going on around the world, and I think I've already mentioned it before, but at 7:14 in the morning, 7:14 in the evening, but they were showing this video of this prayer taking place, y'all. And I don't usually get emotional watching people pray, but I had to begin to fight back the tears from what I seen. And this pastor was showing, he said, "I'm not even sure what country it's from." And he thought it was Portugal, but he wasn't for sure. It was just this video. And y'all, there was people on the sidewalks, and I couldn't tell if it was outside of a church building or where they were at, but it was a busy street. And it was all concrete as far as you could see, and they're outside this building. And I saw men and women on their knees on that concrete praying, raising their hands. Some were on their knees, some were standing. But what really got me was I saw these elderly women. I saw one with her cane laying next to her, and yet she's on her knees with her face to the ground, praying and seeking the Lord. She's got a cane and on concrete on her knees. And there was more than just her doing that. And I thought, maybe us here in America, that we can begin to wake up and understand that life is precious and our time is short, and that God wants to use us. God wants to do something with our lives. God wants to transform us. But if we're continuing to live in darkness and continuing to hide and continuing to seek evil, we're lost, and we need to wake up. We need to repent. And it convicted me because I thought, God, when was the last time I was on my knees in carpet? And they're out there on concrete sidewalks, praying and weeping and crying out to God. We need to wake up, church. I'm going to end with this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 through 6 is what I'm reading. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 6. And it says, "Now, brothers, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you brothers are not in darkness. So this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-control. Let us not be like others. You know, it's easy to go with the crowd. It's easy to want to fit in. But the Bible says we're not like everybody else, and we're not in darkness any longer. That we should be children of the light, and that we need to wake up. Wake up to what's going on around us. Wake up to what God wants to do with our lives. Once again, thank everybody who's been watching for these several weeks. And I pray that your churches will be open next week just like ours, and that you'll show up, and that God will keep you healthy, keep you safe. And I hope that if you don't have a home church and you can come to ours, come. If you have a home church, go back. If you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, get a hold of me. Email me. I'll come meet you. I'll call you. I'll do whatever it takes. Show up here next Sunday. I'll pray with you. But church, we need to wake up. We need to be on our knees. We need to be seeking the Lord. We need to be praying. We need to be opening up the Word. We need to be asking God, what do you want with my life? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your Word, for all that you've given us. Lord, I pray that your church would wake up here in America and around the world. Lord, that we could be an example to all those that are living in fear, to all those that are hurting, Lord, that we would show them love. Where we first read there in Romans 13, that we would love others as we love ourselves, that we would truly do that, that we would truly stand out and be a light in this darkness. That where there's evil all around us and what the enemy has intended to harm us, Lord, we know that you can turn it into something good. We know you can turn it into something wonderful. And I pray that we have woken up as a church. Lord, that your gospel will be spread throughout this country and throughout the world, and that we would see a great revival, a true revival. Lord, that we wouldn't just be sitting at home saying, oh, good message. We wouldn't just be sitting in a pew saying, oh, what a wonderful sermon, what a wonderful song, and we leave unchanged. But, Father, that our lives would be changed. Lord, that we might not ever go back to the way things used to be, but Lord, that you would be doing something great and magnificent and wonderful for the future, for each and every one of our lives. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.